the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Fionnuala Jones, Dave Hanratty with us for the week trending. And all week on the 5 of 5 and 6 of 6, Ben Finnegan has been updating us with the condition of Pope Francis, who has had pneumonia in both lungs for about 6 days, that he's been in hospital. He's 88 years of age, so there's quite a lot of speculation as to how well he'll be able to recover. And then I suppose as well, Fionnuala, as to whether he will be able to continue in the job, because we've seen, it used to be a time that popes died in office, but his predecessor resigned to give him the gig.
I was going to say, yeah, Pope Benedict kind of started a trend of resigning in 2013 after the 1200s, but yeah, you've the Cardinals coming out this week, Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi, saying basically, you know, because he's obviously, Pope Francis is so keen to be out amongst the people and communicating effectively and travelling and, you know, making sure his message is heard, that there's kind of a consensus that if he feels he's not well enough to get out amongst those people and get that message out, that he could just say, you know what, maybe enough's enough. Though again, you're seeing other reports that he's doing a lot better, he's up having breakfast, he's reading his newspapers and stuff like that, so there might be fighting the old dog left, who knows.
Is it though, Dave, we've on all conclave, because many of us have seen the movie based on the Robert Harris book, and now we're thinking about intrigue and we're engaging in speculation about an old man's health, really.
I know, but life imitates art, art imitates life, and sometimes the snake eats its own tail. And I, you know, not to be insensitive here, but I can't lie, one of my first thoughts here was, if he does shuffle off this mortal coil in the near days coming, is Conclave going to win Best Picture at the Oscars? Like, is there any kind of sympathy vote coming? Great movie, by the way. It is excellent.
It's very enjoyable.
Really, if anyone hasn't seen it, trust me, it's great.
And I say lots of people will be going back to watch The Two Popes on Netflix now as well.
So what you're saying is this is actually a great boon for the content here when it comes to papal-based, I guess, fiction or narratives. Could well be. Fascinating character, though. Fascinating position in general. And I think, as Fionnuala points out, you know, one that has moved with the times to some extent. Look, he's 88 years of age. It doesn't look good. I mean, I know there's been that report that kind of said, oh, like, you know, he's up and about, and, you know, his team are cheering him on, which was kind of a weird image. But yeah.
And I think his doctor said maybe not literally following what the Vatican was, so that he is not out of danger, because I don't think the Vatican even ever said he was in danger.
No.
Yeah. I mean, which is kind of an interesting, that like, that almost makes you want to see some kind of, you know, the thick of it style background PR. And again, like Conclave, the admin of all of this kind of stuff, because, you know, if he does indeed pass away, there's a lot of work to do, and it's going to be box office stuff for an awful lot of people.
There's going to be a lot of people wondering, though, did he have the impact that a lot of people thought he would have when he took over, when it came to modernising the Catholic Church?
Yeah, I was only thinking about when I was reading these reports about, you know, the candles being lit in front of statues of Pope John Paul II, and remembering how impactful he felt to me, even as a child, and like how aware I was of like the Vatican and the work of the Church and stuff like that. There's little I could say about Pope Francis. Again, I would be a lot less engaged now as an adult, I will admit.
Yeah, but there was this belief he was going to be a modernising figure, that he
He seems a bit of a radical in some respects. I mean, his very first press conference, he said, you know, he was asked about if what about gay priests? And he said, who am I to judge? Which at the time was seen as, geez, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to condemn them. That's not the message, mate. But then, and he kind of had a few bits and pieces over there where he was seen as, I think, more friendlier to the LGBTQ+ community than others. But then he would walk that back every now and then and kind of say, well, look, you know, he said being gay is not a crime. And then he said, well, you know, it is still a sin, you know, in the eyes of what the organization that I head. So it's kind of like, well, you know, you're at the top of this organization, which is, you know, my opinion, guilty of an awful lot of infractions against vulnerable people. And you're trying to kind of ease your way into a bit more of a, you know, kind of, I guess, inclusive space, which is good on paper. And you could say he gave it a go, but I don't think he's got like a stainless copybook or anything.
Okay, let's move on to other things. Fionnuala, one of the stories that got the most reaction from listeners during this week was when we had the junior minister, John Cummins, in talking about the sheds in the back garden that people might live in. And we've just been talking to James Brown, the housing minister, at 4:30 about it as well. You're of a generation. Are you living in a back garden, or do you have somewhere more permanent to live in?
I'm not living in a back garden, thankfully. I will say I'm the exception to the rule. Like, I've bought my house, but again, I would say I was able to buy my house because I'm in a relationship and I worked two jobs at the time that I bought the house. And that was only, when did we buy? 2022. And I say it all the time, if we were to buy now, we wouldn't be able to. And we both earn more money than we did in 2022. Like, we would be totally priced out of even the market we bought in. So I thought this story was really interesting because in some respects, I saw people on my own timeline who had cabin homes and modular homes and stuff like that. And they were delighted with this news. It said that it would give people a lot more freedom and stuff like that. But I thought Rory Hearn made the great point as well, that it's not just a case of, okay, we're going to put boxes up in back gardens and everyone's going to be sorted. Like, obviously, these still need to be fit for purpose. Like, I even remember prior to us buying, in the last few years of renting, and us renting in houses that kind of weren't fit to be rented out at all. So I can only imagine the people who will take advantage of this new potential planning now, throwing up boxes, sheds and back gardens that are not suitable to be lived in at all. It's really, you have to be so careful, I think.
Yeah, and the Housing Minister, James Brown, didn't seem wildly enthusiastic when I was talking to him after 4:30 about it. This is something that his junior minister, John Cummins, and he seemed quite appreciative of the issues in relation to whether older people might be almost forced out by their adult children. Mom or dad, you don't need this house. We want to bring up our kids here. You go live in the bottom of the garden.
Yeah, I mean, I expect charities like Alone are going to get a few phone calls now and raise the potential question of elder abuse. I mean, like, is there actually going to be something more sinister underneath this? This is obviously, you know, a huge symptom of the housing crisis. This is not a solution at all. And it's, you know, potentially good for sellers, bad for buyers. On the flip side, and like, you know, look, total contrast to Fionnuala over here. Like, I'm 40, you know, I'm older and I'm single and I've been renting in Dublin for over 10 years and I shouldn't feel ashamed to admit those things, because it's like, how am I going to get a house? I'm resigned to the fact that I don't see how I can ever buy a house. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm kind of looking at this being like, is this my future? Like this is not.
Well, it's like, Dave, you see, you raise an interesting point there, and Charlie Weston brought it up in our personal finance spot on Wednesday, that life as a single person is more expensive as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And most mortgages are issued on the basis of two incomes.
Exactly, yeah.
Rather than one.
Dual income household, yeah. And like, I currently don't have that quote-unquote luxury, but it shouldn't be a luxury. I've been working continually in media and whatever for the last 10 years. You know, you're doing all the quote-unquote right things, and I find myself in a situation where it's like, well, I've moved, what, 3 or 4 times, and the next one's going to be trickier because you move kind of with people that you know, but then they start having kids and they buy a house and you're like, well, what am I going to do, because I haven't, you know, just found myself in that position. But it, like, that's one example. I mean, and then I think about the younger generations, of course, you know, who are going to be, they were immediately priced out. I mean, like, it's changed utterly in the last decade and more, never for the good. And something like this comes along, and yes, you might kind of like laugh at it to some extent and you might get annoyed about it.
But I suppose it's individual choice. For some people, if they feel they have a bit of space out in the back garden and they want to do it maybe for their adult kids, but should they be stopped from doing it?
Well, it needs regulation, of course. I mean, there's definitely questions about eyesores and noise pollution, I suppose, for some people.
Yeah. And I just think it goes back to the thing of, are we putting a band-aid over a bigger issue? Yes, it should be a choice, but like, choice should be the key word there. It shouldn't be a default, you know, option, I suppose. It's, especially when you think about, I was looking it up before we came on here, like the amount of vacant houses in Ireland. We're looking at over 160,000. What's being done there? What more could be done there?
Jeez, you've just doubled the number that we discussed on Monday. It was 80,000 on Monday.
Oh my God.
And you've just doubled it in the space of 4 days.
This country.
I found so many more vacant houses, guys. I found it. I have the solution.
Congratulations.
No, but in all seriousness, like, 80,000 is still too many vacant houses for people who are still searching, you know?
We discussed that with the minister after 4:30 as well. He's talking about the vacant home grants for refurbishment, but he's admitting as well that, you know, you can get up to 70,000, but you can't get it till the end of the process. And the people who want to buy these houses or buy these apartments and do them up can't wait until the end of the process to draw down the 70,000, because builders look for stage payments and the like.
Yeah, it's like you're between a rock and a hard place, like, permanently, whatever you look towards, I suppose. It's very difficult.
And then all of this, we had the lack of sunlight during the until the sun came out.
Oh my
was
God.
A Wednesday morning for the first time in Dublin briefly. In 11 days briefly, and there was a brief flutter of it again today. This listener from Donegal says they haven't had it for longer. I mean, what does this do, do you reckon, to the national mood when you just don't have sunshine?
Okay, let's talk about the national mood with no sunshine, but what also about the national mood when we continue to keep talking about the fact that we had no sunshine? Like, that surely isn't helping either, Matt. No, I just
it's a multiplier effect.
It's a multiplier Perfect. Yeah, exactly. We're just like compounding the misery by continuously talking about it. We're just such a parody of ourselves now as Irish people being obsessed with talking about this. And look, in all seriousness, I do get it. It's a lot. Every time I step outside and there's rain, I'm like, oh, for God's sake. But in some respects, I'm like Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather. If you had just said nothing, if you hadn't come out and said, do you know what? We actually got 0 hours of sunshine in the last 11 days.
Would we have noticed?
I don't think
I didn't notice until it was pointed out to me. But then I went, oh yeah, that's why I've been feeling so kind of compressed and trapped and a bit irritable lately. Because it does, like, I know it's the annoying cliche, but it does make a massive difference to your mental health. It actually does. Like, and like, you know, as someone who, you know, like I suffer from depression and anxiety, you know, it's like actually the sun coming through my window or whatever, it does make a difference. And like, but I will admit, weirdly,
the lack of vitamins that you get from the sunlight is important.
It's a genuine thing. You don't need scientific studies. Trust me, I'm telling you the truth. But like, it is that thing where until I saw 7 Instagram stories in a row about it, I was like, oh yeah, hang on, where has that been? And then of course, yes, I think there's something in that though. We do love to complain, and this gave us something new to complain about.
No, we are giving desperate ex about the sun. Like, just being like, where are you? I miss, like, no, she's not coming back, girls. And she'll come back in her own time, okay? It's fine.
Also, it keeps happening during work hours. I'm like, stop raining in the morning when I'm going to work. And then there's this gorgeous blazing sunshine at like 2 p.m. I'm like, oh, cheers, man, thanks.
Go into the library and sit in front of your light box that they have in some of the libraries now. Okay. Same effect, apparently.
I'll tell it.
Sure, you need natural light rather than some sort of synthetic light.
I think it's a combo thing of being out in the fresh air and the light. So it's probably not like a one size fits all solution, but I've spoken to people who use them and they said it does make a difference. So,
okay, Fionnuala Jones, Dave Hanratty, stay with us. We have more in the week trending.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
And thank you, Aisling, for your message. The light boxes really work. As somebody who suffered with bad seasonal effectual disorder, I got one about 5 years ago, and the difference it made is huge. February was always the worst for me, so it was so hard just to get up and have any joy. I would always take holidays in February to break up the time between Christmas and the longer evenings. The light box changed everything, and I no longer hate February and have much more energy and a better mood. Worth it for about €30 each. That's a really interesting take.
Great to hear.
And
yeah.
As I said, the libraries have them. We love the libraries, girls. Join your library.
Okay, let's move on. We have more comments I'll come back to in a little while. But Dave Hanratty, last night Brian Lloyd and myself spoke about the breaking news about Amazon taking control of James Bond. To be the Q for Bond, I suppose.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Jeff Bezos says Q.
Yeah, let's not rule anything out here.
Don't put that out in the universe, please.
The big kerfuffle here appears to be that people are worried that Bond isn't going to be British anymore. I don't think that they're going to screw with the IP to that level. But and you know, there's talk of a power share, but nah, like it's Amazon. They're going to do the Star Wars and Disney with it. We're going to get more Bond than we could ever possibly want. I like James Bond. I like a Bond movie. Don't think there's been a good one since Skyfall. What's that? 13 years ago. But my big problem with this story is like the Broccolis, who have been, you know, the key holders to the kingdom for so long, and you know, you could argue that they've done a very good job with it, by and large. They've had so much time to plan a succession to Daniel Craig, and they've completely whiffed it, in my opinion, because Craig wanted out by the time Spectre rolled around, and then he was convinced to stay on for No Time to Die. They were both duds, and he was publicly being like, I want to leave, please let me go. So in that time, would you not go, okay, cool, let's just sound out the next Bond, let's get this thing done, let's announce a new guy, maybe throw out a title, you know, get the fans excited. They've done nothing. Now, I'm not in those meetings, of course, but at the same time, you had your chance, lads, and I kind of feel like you've dug your own grave here.
I should have described Jeff Bezos as M rather than Q, shouldn't I? Do you care about this, Fionnuala?
Do I care?
Because a lot of women think that, you know, Bond, deeply sexist, objectionable.
I mean, yeah, but he's a fictional character as well, you know what I mean? Like, there is a grain of salt there. Like, he's not a real man, and thank God he's not. I find this fascinating, like, reading all these reports, like, prior to Christmas about, like, the Broccoli's kind of standoff with Amazon and reports that Barbara Broccoli was saying that she'd, like, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically saying that the Amazon lads were a bunch of dopes and she didn't, like, trust them with this franchise and that that's why things were moving along so slowly, and she didn't want, obviously they didn't want Bond on streaming. Bond is a figure of cinema, Bond belongs in cinema, should not be on streaming whatsoever. But I agree, like, they've had so much time, even this initial purchase by Amazon in 2022, and again,
they've got the cash now. But this was maybe a negotiating ploy to get the price up,
maybe, but I think there's also a worry from Bond fans who I have in my life who are like, oh my god, it's not that the Britishness is going to be taken away again, god forbid, but it's that basically Bond isn't going to be now turned into quote unquote content. They want to build out this universe, they want to make TV shows.
It's going to be like, again, Star Wars and Disney. It's just going to be like, oh man, this thing that was once quote unquote special is just now everywhere. Although, James Bond Jr. movie, about time, I'd say. And finally, Bezos as Blofeld, surely. That's who he
is. Actually, yes.
There you go.
Well, Bezos, or could not Musk be that?
No, oh, no. Please, no, guys, no. Please. But Bezos is flat out now on X or Twitter or whatever. Like,
he's sold out completely.
But he's trying to like cast for the film as well, being like, hey, guys, who do you think Bond should be? Bezos, that's respectfully none of your business. Stay out of my arts. Go make your companies and be a billionaire and enjoy your money.
Bring back Pierce Brosnan.
Bring back Pierce Brosnan as a Bond villain. Bring back George Lazenby. That's what I say. Let's do
that. It's actually
that
good.
One again.
Everyone hates that movie, but it's not bad.
No, I love it. It's fun. It's camp.
You want to talk about Guy Pearce?
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking
the actor. We were talking off air about The Brutalist, yeah, which we both loved.
Wonderful film, and I hope it wins Best Picture. I hope Brady Corbet wins Best Director. I'm a huge fan, and Guy Pearce is a fabulous actor. And I wish, you know, it seems Kieran Culkin has the Best Supporting Actor race lined up, which is
for fine, Real but, Pain.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which he's very
he's
good,
great
and it's
in
a
it.
Really good movie.
Co-lead though, whatever. I mean, like a conversation for another day. Guy Pearce has done an hour-long podcast with the Hollywood Reporter this week, which I think everyone should check out because he's a very candid and thoughtful fella. Like he's actually doesn't hold back at all, and he's been very vocal in his support for Palestine, and he's talked about how, you know, people have been coming to him being like, you might want to calm that down. He refuses to do that. He seems like a nice guy, and he's talked about Kevin Spacey because he talked about Kevin Spacey a few years ago on Australian media and it got picked up a bit, but now it's getting a bit more attention because once again he's asked kind of midway through this podcast to talk about his experience with him on the excellent film LA Confidential, which Kevin Spacey, monster that he is excellent in the film.
He's been excellent in many movies.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, Mel Gibson's an incredible screen presence. I mean, art from artist, all that kind of stuff, you know, like personal lives, whole of the story. Guy Pearce basically talked about how he felt that he was targeted by Kevin Spacey on set for about 6 months during this time, and he kind of like, you know, pushed it away in the way that men do, and you know, he said like, you know, we get on with it, but actually it's clearly affected him. But he was also very quick to add, listen, I didn't suffer the way other people have at the hands of predators like Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey has shot back saying, you're not a victim, actually I'm contradicting your report. And Kevin Spacey said, you know, I think his quote was, I've been to hell and back, and now you're trying to like sabotage my career again. So it's gotten pretty ugly, but I do think, like I say, I'd recommend anybody who even has a passing interest in Guy Pearce's work to listen to the podcast, because he's a very thoughtful, interesting fella.
Which brings me, Finola, to the story out of Spain, and I think it's one of those went global after the Spanish women's football team won the World Cup in 2023, and the head of the Spanish Football Federation, Luis Rubiales, he forced a kiss on player Jenny Hermoso, and he was convicted this week of sexual assault. What do you make of this?
Fined €10,800. I know they were looking for a prison term. Prosecutors were looking for a prison term, 2.5 years, one year for sexual assault and 18 months for coercion, because obviously after the fact, I think they were putting forward that they were trying to convince people that, you know, play it down, it wasn't that bad, whatever. I mean, that's not a huge amount of money for, I mean, what was probably considerably traumatic event for Hermoso. Like, what should have been this elated, incredible moment is now constantly marred by the act itself and the story and the conversation that comes after. I don't know. It's just, and it's hard as well, because how do you put a monetary value on something like that? They have. I don't know if that's fair, and
I'm
I don't know if it's enough.
It was even contested at all, because we all saw it. I mean, like, you talk about like millions of eyewitnesses
on camera.
Yeah, that's the thing. And a penny for the thoughts of Luis Rubiales' mother, though, who I believe locked herself in a church for days on end when she was protesting about the harsh treatment her son was receiving. So, yeah, unfortunately, this is one where like people like have an opinion on, and sometimes the opinion goes against, in my opinion, the victim, in this case, Jenny Hermoso. And as you say, it was a triumphing sporting moment, it deserves to be celebrated in that context and no other one. But now this will be forever linked. I mean, like, if you look at any match report, any page about it, any highlight reel, this will always be linked to it.
Finola, what do you make of this report that nearly 1 in 3 young men and 20% of young women who are sexually active aren't using contraception?
I kind of can't get over it. Like, I can't wrap my head around that, again, in this research, a lot of them are saying that they actually understand about STIs and they're really conscious of it or whatever, but then you have all these figures of people not using condoms, not carrying condoms. It's so, because I feel like that would have been a symptom of my time of being in college and being out and about and dating and having a laugh, etc., etc. You know, I feel like there was a big misconception around, you know, be on the pill or whatever. Once you're on the pill, you're grand, because God forbid if you got pregnant, as if that was the worst thing in the world. But again, a lot of contraception doesn't protect against STIs and stuff like that. I really thought we'd move past that. Just to see this research, I can't really understand what the disconnect is, because I feel like it's talked about more than ever. Even the great campaign from the HSE last month about You, Me and HIV was so important and so great to see it out there, so publicly, so front facing on social media and everywhere else. It's just bizarre. Like, I kind of want to run out to a young person and be like, what's going on? What are you
doing?
Grab
them and shake them. I mean, to bring it back to the man of the hour, Pope Francis, everybody.
Wow,
I mean,
okay.
He did say something along the lines of, you know, I think it was, I'm paraphrasing him now, but he said something like, Catholics don't, you know, by all means, express your love for each other, but you don't need to go out like rabbits. So maybe, you know, we need to take a leaf out of his book in honor of his current.
That's not the way I thought we finished talking about Pope Francis, but there you go. I can't control what you say a lot of the time. Dave Hanratty, Fionnuala Jones, thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.